You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura and the head coach aficionado Vic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to go inside the locker room now with a veteran on this team, new to the Browns, really. It's his first season here, but a veteran in the National Football League and a guy that I think should benefit from the quarterback switch to Jason Campbell and that I'd like to see really step up and take some ownership here working out of the slot, and that is Devon Best. Jameer, take it away.
Thanks, Vic. Devon, just taking a look back at the work week, how did everything go with working with quarterback Jason Campbell?
It went good. Jason's did a good job at, retaining the information. Even though he's kind of, been the third string guy, he's still been a part of this offense, whether giving advice to some of the receivers or whatever the case may be. It's been pretty smooth. Now we got to show up on Sunday.
What does he bring to this offensive unit?
Experience. He's been around for a while. You saw a whole bunch of looks. You can't teach experience, I believe he's very hungry and he's ready for his opportunity.
Now, when you look at this Kansas City Chiefs defense, what have you seen from watching these guys in particular on tape?
Man, them guys up front can rush the passer, and they pretty much play man-to-man behind, man. And you got to, win your job. But for the most part, they're playing very sound, very physical, athletic group, man. And, we got to be able to make plays.
What's it going to be like playing at Arrowhead? You're playing in one of the loudest stadiums in the National Football League.
It's still a football game. You got to have poise. You got to be able to listen to the plays and go out and not get caught up emotionally. We know that they're undefeated, but this is an opportunity for us to take advantage of.
And with them being undefeated, does the temperature get turned up a bit when you know you're about to face the only undefeated team in the National Football League?
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity. It's something, not everybody has a chance to do. So we want to make the most of this opportunity.
And how hungry is this offense? Because you look back at the last 2 weeks, and unfortunately, when plays needed to be made, you guys fell short. And you know what this offense is capable of.
That's the thing about this league. It's good to get away from the last week and you move on to the next. We left a lot of plays last week, and we know what that feeling was like. We lost the game, and we knew we could have played a lot better. But now we understand. We made our mistakes. We learned from them. Now it's time to grow and just keep moving and winning.
Devon, thank you for your time, and good luck to you Sunday.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
Back to you, Vic.
Jameer, thank you very much. Appreciate that breakdown with Devon Best. I agree with you that Devon, with Jason Campbell at quarterback, has a chance to, I think, get more involved in this offense. I think Campbell will look toward him, and that isn't to say that Brandon Whedon did not. The other thing is it sounds a little odd, but the touch pass ability that Campbell brings, and I've seen this on the practice field. We saw it all throughout training camp. He does a nice job rhythm timing on those touch throws. Sometimes the slot guy, it's a quick throw, but it can't be too much of a bullet. It can't be a heavy ball in that short area, yes.
Yeah, and you look at Devon Best, and you look at what he's done this season with the Cleveland Browns. First of all, he's had more drops already this year than he had in either of the last three seasons in Miami, so that's uncharacteristic. He's getting some looks. He's had, multiple games with more than eight targets this season. He's only catching 54.8% of them. His career rate is 63%. He's averaging 5.3 yards per target. His career rate is 6.7. So there has been a decrease in efficiency for Devon Best since joining the Cleveland Browns, and I think a lot of that has to do with some turmoil at quarterback, and obviously I don't think he gelled nearly as well. Even though he had more drops with Hoyer, he was more productive with Hoyer than he did with Brandon Whedon, and you hope that Jason Campbell can get him going, because when you talk about an offense that is struggling on third down, in many cases, the best friend on third down can be that slot receiver who just needs to get you the 6 to 8 yards, et cetera. And that's what Devon Best, that's what we thought he was going to do. I remember you saying in the training camp, you talked about this earlier in the week. He's always open. He catches everything. So we need that from Devon Best, and hopefully Jason Campbell can bring that out of him against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think he's also suffered a little bit from the fact that you don't have dominant exterior receivers on this team. We know what Josh Gordon can be. But he hasn't played well enough, particularly in these last couple of games, to command the level of coverage. Even the Buffalo game, you see instances where they were putting one guy on him. And, you can do that at your peril. But he has not distinguished himself in such a way that you draw coverage so far to the outside. Just one guy helping on exterior coverage would mean the world to a Devon Best to get open, and I think that's been somewhat, you know, part of the problem. So we'll see, you know, we'll see how that happens. But Brandon Whedon, who is of course the former starting quarterback for the Browns as of this week, as of actually Monday when that decision was made, announced on Wednesday, had a chance to speak with reporters today. Jason Gibbs was down there for us for KNR, and he was asked, was the four games that he had as a starter enough to show the coaching staff what he could do?
Being out there is a lot different, you know, practicing in the indoor and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, you know, playing two games, didn't win, and then, you know, having to take a little break. I mean, it was kind of broken up. And so, you know, it is what it is. It's professional. You got to win. You got to win games. And, you know, all 53 guys in here would agree that's our main goal, me included.
So, his answer was kind of political. I mean, it was sort of like it was four enough. Of course, in his mind, it's not enough. I mean, he's not going to necessarily be as blunt about it as that, although I don't know what he has to lose to say that. But he's saying basically every opportunity is every opportunity. He was asked if he were to be called upon in this game, you know, would he be ready?
Those decisions are out of my control. You know, we... You know, those are decisions that are made, you know, way above our heads. So, you know, as a player, you just got to go with the decision and be a good team player. I'm a team guy. I want this team to win on Sunday. I'm gonna be ready if I'm asked or called on. You know, the situation is just like Buffalo. You know, I was ready, prepared, and I'm treating it the same way.
And that's smart, and that's what he's got to do, is be ready, be prepared in the event. Listen, you're only one play away, especially for a team that can get to the quarterback like the Chiefs. Not only do they lead the league in sacks, they also lead the league in quarterback hurries. So they are always around the quarterback, which means the potential for an injury always exists there. One bit of injury news that could be good for the Cleveland Browns, not that he's done much this whole season, is that Dwayne Bowe did not practice today with a groin injury, and it is sounding like he might not be able to play this Sunday against the Browns.
And he's really the only guy they have, if he's as a difference maker, if you want to call him that, which he hasn't been. He's a veteran guy. And again, how much of it is him and how much of it is Alex Smith and not necessarily delivering it
right
to
his
him.
Talent is better than his stats this year, so he's a guy that you need to account for, certainly in the red zone. That would bump Donnie Avery up to the number one receiver spot,
right,
which he really is not. So certainly interesting to see what will happen there if Dwayne Bowe's not able to play again. Just helps make the case that this defense should go all out and try to stop Jamaal Charles and say, Alex Smith, if you can beat me throwing the ball to Anthony Fasano, Donnie Avery, you know, Junior Hemingway and Dexter McCluster, then okay, you've done that. I think that will be tough. I still think the defense of Kansas City powers them in this game, but taking out Dwayne Bowe certainly will allow, I think, Ray Horton some more freedom to do things defensively to help this team.
More with Brandon Whedon today, reporters talking with him and asking kind of what his role and responsibility is going forward.
I'll take full responsibility. I'm never going to be a guy that's going to point the finger. You know, there's plenty of opportunities. I had plenty of opportunities to make plays. Some throws that I'd love to have back, you know, but unfortunately you don't get them back. And, again, that falls on me. I'll take 100% of the responsibility.
And he should. There were maybe those who questioned whether or not he actually did take that after games. Kind of his post-game responses to thing was a lot of we and us. And obviously, it isn't all on him in terms of the bad play that you saw, especially from the offense last week. Drop passes, missed blocking assignments, so on and so forth. There were things that contributed, but just stay in your lane. And as a quarterback, part of that job is to step up and say, hey, I didn't get it done. When the offense doesn't produce, you are the one who has to take that onus. You do.
Quarterbacks always get more of the blame and more of the credit than they should for a very team game, and you're exactly right. You need that. Just goes with the position, goes with the territory.
I saw Jim Kelly learn this lesson, a Hall of Famer, in the course of his career, early on after arriving in Buffalo, where he arrived like a conquering king, where there was a motorcade for him and whatever the day he was signed. It was an amazing thing that happened. This is, again, going all the way back to 1986. But this happening, and then in his first few games, the wary eye that you saw from teammates, from linemen and others who were especially his offensive linemen, and it wasn't a very good line then, and he was getting crushed behind that line. The Jets had the New York sack exchange going. Mark Gastineau, Joe Kluck, all those guys were beating up
quarterback
on everybody.
Meeting at the quarterback.
And they were meeting at the quarterback and just pounding the daylights out of him. Of course, he's frustrated, and he was making it clear that, you know, hey, with a line like this, I mean, what help do I have? And he was kind of making those kinds of noises and comments. Well, not only did the players hate it, but their wives hate it too. And I would hear from also the wives, like we'd be at New England and they were saying, what's Jim saying now? One of the wives in the press conference, they were standing outside because they had come on the trip to shop in Boston while the husbands played. And I said, well, you know, he's still talking about the line. I knew it. You know, they were so incensed about it. And Jim finally caught on that he needs those guys on his side all the time. And then his tone shifted. He became much more of a, we're in this together, and bonded with the linemen, and, you know, obviously took him out as often as possible to dinners, hosted a lot of things at his house. He had the biggest, you know, he was the highest paid guy, had the biggest house and everything. And I think it's that understanding of what your teammates are all about that you arrive at. So to go to translate it to where we are with Brandon Whedon, I hope he's learned a valuable lesson from the idea of accountability. I don't know that he did, and I'm not going to say that he was ever standing up there pointing fingers at anyone else. You just didn't always feel that he felt it was more, you know, more him and less them.
I think it's maybe, and I think that has a lot to do with his demeanor as well. He's just the kind of guy who doesn't seem to get too high, too low, and seems pretty unaffected and unfazed by a lot of things. There's one question that was asked to him that I thought was interesting, and that is he hopes to get another shot with the Cleveland Browns, and I think you'll find out if he's mentally checked out with the answer to this.
I hope so. Well, you know, you never know. I mean, like I said, this league is crazy, you know, and, you know, whether it's this Sunday, four Sundays down the road, or, you know, into December, I'll be ready.
Yeah. Well, I hope he hopes so, because there's a really good chance it could happen. There's a lot of football left. This is nine games left in the season is an eternity in terms of games. Now, I hope it doesn't feel like an eternity for this Browns team the rest of the way for the wrong reasons, but yeah, I think he's got to feel that way. He's got to project that. It is a default move here, because we'll say it again. Why is he the backup? Why didn't they go out and get somebody else or whatever? Why don't they just cut ties with him? Most of that points to if you're going to have a backup, he's about as good as you can have right now, just under the circumstances, not because of more that what he does. It speaks louder about what's not out there.
There's a lack of depth at the quarterback position. Let me tell you something. If something goes on in New Orleans to Drew Brees or in Green Bay to Aaron Rodgers, those teams are screwed. They do not have back. There are not a lot of teams that have legitimate backup quarterbacks. That's one of the reasons why you saw a decent salary be paid to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's now considered one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL. Think about what that says for a second.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about that. I mean, that's the truth, though.
Oh, and I know Ryan's game very well.
Yeah.
Followed that pretty closely.
Matt Hasselbeck is hanging around in the league in Indianapolis because
he represents one of the better backups.
That's what I'm saying. And this is a guy whose prime was 6 years ago. So
he's in a great spot. Behind Andrew Luck on a team going somewhere. Now he's got to feel good about that.
He does. He's a good, colorful personality.
Call your shot. Yeah, bright guy. Really bright guy. Call your shot Friday, 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. Want to hear from you. Want your tweets, too. We'll get into those at Browns_Daily. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Football Friday, ESPN 850 WKNR.